Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Tom Segura.
I'm Christina P.
I'm Rob Eiler.
I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler.
I'm Dr. Drew.
I'm Lauren Compton.
I'm not in the show? For real?
69 minutes. If you give us an hour, you'll miss 9 minutes of our program.
This medical professional steals epidural drugs. He puts a 4-inch needle in my spine.
Okay, Steve-O, we have other questions.
I'm so excited to see you tonight.
Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of First Date with me as your host, Lauren Compton. My next guest today, you know him from Jackass. His new comedy special, Bucket List, is out now at stevo.com. Welcome, Steve-O. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so excited you're here.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's good to be here. I looked up your podcast on YouTube, was very impressed by your numbers.
Thank you. We have a menu here.
Oh, how about that?
So in this menu, I have appetizer questions. Do you know how this goes?
I don't, but I'm ready.
Appetizer questions. So we're going to get into it a little soft. Then I have main course questions.
Okay.
It's a little meatier questions. And then we've got dessert questions. One dessert question at the end to sweeten it up.
All right.
So all you have to do is be open and honest.
That is generally how I am.
Great. Do we need a safe word?
No, I don't think so.
Fuck it. Unprotected. Let's just go.
Sure.
Okay. when you go on a date, do you take flowers?
On a first date, that would not make a lot of sense to me. That would feel like trying too hard out of the gate. Like, you don't even know this person. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now flowers are more, I think they come in a little later.
Yeah. Are they like, if you mess up, it's like an apology?
No, it's more like the anniversary of our first kiss kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a special thing. There have been times when I bought flowers for my lady just because. And it occurred to me the other day as we walked through New York City and somebody was selling flowers at the side of the road. And I said to my lady that... I felt compelled to buy her flowers, but we're traveling, we're on a trip, and it would just be more of a pain in the ass because every set of flowers I think I've ever gotten my girl, like, it is hung upside down, dried, preserved, like.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so it's kind of a big deal, and I'd like to call myself out for not giving her flowers enough.
Oh.
But check it out. The opening sequence of my bucket list special, the whole thing is just me giving Lux flowers.
Oh,
that's the whole thing. Like, I stood, the first thing you see in the beginning of this rotten, filthy, triple X rated and just unbelievably graphic, violent and illegal, like, you know, stuff.
Made for kids.
It's so bad. There's a reason it's on stevo.com. Okay, so the first thing you see is I grab roses out of a vase and I stick them in my teeth, and it becomes clear there's a humongous helicopter above me, and I'm like, I'm on this house, and like, there's all, I'm outside, there's this, all this patio furniture, and it's like such a huge helicopter that all of the patio furniture just goes violently. And with the flowers in my teeth, I climb up on the roof of the house, and the helicopter drops a rope ladder. And, like, I grab the dangling rope ladder, and the helicopter flies off with me hanging by my hands.
This is like some 007 shit.
Big time. And it's got the most awesome, like, like 007 spy music, like, playing. And I fly off hanging from the helicopter with the flowers in my teeth. And we reveal that the pilot of the helicopter is Bill Burr.
No!
Swear to God. And he's legitimately a helicopter pilot. Like, he literally flew a helicopter for my comedy special. This opening sequence cost more than $150,000 for 90 seconds of footage. And I'm flying around. So, like, there's, like, a lake, and the helicopter, like, swoops down and, like, dips me in the water, like pretty crazy. And Bill Burr's like, oh, sorry, buddy. You know, like, so now I'm all wet. And then it goes straight for telephone poles with electrical wires. And I'm all soaking wet. And I go through the electrical wires with all the, like, crazy, like, transformer boxes or whatever they're called exploding. And then we arrive. I'm still got the flowers. And there's, and then we find the tour bus. And the tour bus is cruising. And Bill flies the helicopter, pacing the moving tour bus. I'm still hanging from the ladder. I let go of the ladder and land on the roof of the moving tour bus. And then
there's an and then.
Yeah.
The most impressive part about this story is that you have made it here alive.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and then, spoiler alert, my jackass buddy Preston Lacey is driving the bus. He throws up a rope, which I catch while I'm on the roof. Bus is still driving, and I'm holding the rope, and I, like, kind of rappel down the side and then swing as my lady opens up the door of the moving bus. I swing into the door and hand her the roses, and then I turn to the camera and say, ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for me. And the bus, that's how I get to the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
And at no point she was afraid for your life during this. She's like,
She was so fucking afraid for my life on the helicopter day that she literally passed a kidney stone the next day.
Shut up.
Yeah, she was so stressed out watching me fly around hanging from the helicopter.
I can only imagine.
Dropping from that helicopter onto the roof of the moving tour bus was so sketchy.
That's a Tom Cruise move.
Yeah, it was unbelievably sketchy and terrifying.
Wow.
And I was so invested in it, like, money-wise. Like, I had to do it. And so, like, that's, like, the whole thing. Like, this whole filthy multimedia comedy special is a love story.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a love story. And, like, the items on my bucket list, they go in descending order of my lady's approval and support.
Like, I love this. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, in the beginning, she's gung-ho all about it. You know, all my buddies are running for their lives, but she's standing strong, moving in for a better shot, you know?
Oh, cute.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's how I knew she's the one.
Yeah.
And so then I asked her to marry me. And then the next bit, like, that's the beginning of the show. And then the next bit, it's like, all right, so now we're getting married. So we're going to have kids or what? And we answer that question with a huge stunt, and she's all about it. And then after that, we start getting into, like, the illegal and life-threatening stuff, which she's not so into.
Mm.
Like, I got medical professionals stealing drugs from hospitals and administering them to me. Like, the medical professional gets in disguise and puts an IV in my arm and pumps general anesthesia drugs into my veins while I'm hauling ass on a bicycle. And my girl was there for that too. But when the medical professional, the different one, stole drugs from the hospital, which it's called epidural.
Does anyone even give you life insurance, or is that?
Nah.
They're like, we know who you are.
Yeah, I don't do life insurance. But do you know what an epidural is?
Yeah. It's what they give you when you're pregnant and they put it in your spine.
Yeah.
Or when you're delivering a baby, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So this medical professional steals epidural drugs, gets in disguise. He puts a 4-inch needle in my spine.
Okay, Steve-O, we have other questions. We have dating questions that don't involve you almost fucking killing yourself. I applaud your fiance for going through all of this.
Oh, she's the one.
Matt,
she is absolutely the one.
The only one.
She's the only one. And this, like, this special is so outrageously more fucked up than Jackass ever could possibly be.
Well, like, I'm stoked to see it, and I'm glad you survived.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you some more appetizer questions.
Let's do it.
Let's say that you're in a movie theater, and the people in front of you are being loud and obnoxious, and you're with your date trying to watch this movie.
Okay.
What do you do with these people that are being loud?
Like, I don't play that shit. Like anybody who's been to one of my shows, like, they know that, like heckling, disrupting a show, like, I draw a hard
Shut
line.
Shut it down.
I draw a hard line. Like, I don't even necessarily give a fuck about making it funny or part of the act. Because it's just like, look, all these people, like, paid their hard-earned money to come and enjoy this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, the ultimate attention whore of all time. Like, you got people paying attention. They've paid to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. And you're going to mess with that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you're – so I call out hecklers, like, you know. You got to try not to – like, ruin the energy of the show, but you gotta stop it.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
And I'm, like, kind of notorious for, like, trying to just shut that shit down. Like, and make an example out of the fuckface that's disrupting the show so that everybody else falls into line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can count on me in a movie theater. Somebody's disrupting the show. Like, I'm gonna shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find it a pet peeve when a woman drives you around in a car? Like, do you ever, like...
No, no,
no.
As a matter of fact, I am the worst driver that has ever sat in this seat. I would bet the new farm that we bought in Tennessee, like, that... Like, I am so bad at driving.
So you prefer a woman to drive?
My lady prefers to drive.
Yeah.
I prefer if she drives.
She's like, you can go swing from a helicopter all you want.
Yeah.
But I'm driving the car.
I should not be allowed to drive.
Okay.
Straight up.
How weird. With all the crazy shit you've done, driving a car is the red flag.
I am so bad. Like, I was sorry. One time, Knoxville got in my car. We drove somewhere,
uh-huh.
and this was back in, like, 2016 or something, a long, long time ago. And he said, Steve-O, I really hope that you know, become very successful and have fuck you money so that you can pay for somebody to drive you around all the time. Because this is the, he's like, dude, I'm not comfortable.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
My go-to is to not go to karaoke. Yeah, nobody wants to hear me sing.
No?
Yeah, I guarantee you.
I feel like you could do, like, a really good, like, what are those, ska?
Yeah, you know what, with that said, I do want to say that I have gotten back into rapping.
Have you?
Yeah.
Can I hear a rap?
You can go on Spotify or Apple Music or, like, whatever.
Or any can do it. Any? Give me a beat.
Is he trying to rap right now?
Yeah, he's trying to rap right now.
Well, I recorded a rap song recently with Violent J of Insane Clown Posse. And I know the Juggalos are a big hit with YMH Studios.
Yeah.
I know they're very popular. And the song that I wrote is a hit. It's called... I love my girl, but.
That's a red flag.
It's a song because my girl has, what do you call it, PMDD or something?
I know PMS.
Like PMDD, it's like demon week.
Premenstrual, like, demon disorder?
Basically.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, we like... I think the jokes tend to be funny, like, when there's, like, a real element of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reality is that, like, my girl, you know, with her cycle, like, it just has some, like, she's at, like...
It comes with demons.
She's on medication for it, you know? Like, it's actually a thing, like,
yeah.
A disorder, and...
You guys sound perfect for each other.
And she's the most wonderful person. And it's just that 1 week a month. So I made a song about it.
Well, hey, you have to find an outlet, you know?
It's funny. And she is, like, a huge fan of the song.
Do you speak any other languages?
I did. When, like, my first words were in Portuguese.
Really?
Yeah.
Why Portuguese?
Well, because I grew up, my dad was a corporate executive. I was born in England, so I have a British passport.
Okay.
My mom was born in Canada, so I have a Canadian passport.
Okay.
My dad was born in America, so I have an American passport.
All right,
too.
We're collecting.
I'm what you call triple national.
Yeah.
I'm a citizen.
You're a triple threat.
Yeah, a citizen of three different countries. I have all my passports are valid, and I love that. My dad also corporate executive. So when I was 6 months old, my family moved to Brazil, where my dad became the president of all of Pepsi Cola and all of Brazil.
Really?
Yeah. And so my parents were kind of popping off. They were successful. And they didn't really have a lot of time. So I was raised by live-in maids, Brazilian women.
Okay.
And that's why I spoke my first words in Portuguese, because I was raised by like nannies.
Yeah.
And then when I was 2 years old, my dad was promoted to president of Pepsi-Cola in like a bigger territory, maybe like Central America or like... So we moved to Caracas, Venezuela, and that's when I spoke fluent Spanish in nursery school. And I spoke English, too. So I spoke Portuguese, Spanish, and English by the age of three. And when I was 4 years old, my family moved to Darien, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
That was when I moved to America. And I spoke three languages by the age of three and completely forgot two of them by the age of, like, five.
Yeah.
I would say either four or five. Like, I literally forgot them right away. But when I was at a summer camp in when I was 11 years old, some baseball summer camp in Massachusetts, there were these kids from Brazil, and they said they were going crazy in the morning. They said I was speaking, like, Portuguese in my sleep.
Really?
In like the cabin, like in my, like the where all the beds in the bunk, you know, in the cabin. And so it's in there.
That's like some amnesia stuff. You know, like sometimes when people have amnesia, they come back, they come out of it speaking like a full on different language. Have you heard of that?
I believe that.
That's a thing.
I absolutely believe that. And it just goes to show that it's all in there. I just don't have access to it.
Yeah. Well,
and it's kind of like you're a dumbass if you like had three languages you could speak and you forgot two of them. It's kind of embarrassing. But at the same time, I was told that when babies learn multiple languages, like they it develops more of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So like you use like more of your it gives you an advantage, like some kind of an intellectual advantage because you use more of your brain.
Yeah.
So obviously.
Yeah.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well... That's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
We're going to move on to my main course questions.
All right. Like, you were trying to make me nervous about these questions. Like, there's nothing controversial about them. Are you ever going to...
Whoa. let's see if we can change that. How much sex is too much sex?
How much sex is too much sex?
That was like my fourth question, but you intimidated me, so.
All right, I don't mind. I mean, in general, like, it's too much sex if it's bringing about shame or guilt, you know, like I'm saying if you have like multiple partners,
oh.
You know, like because I do have a checkered past. I have a checkered past.
That is the sweetest way I've ever heard someone say they have a fucked up past.
Well, yeah, like before I met my lady, I was never successful in relationships. You know, I had a.
Were you like a one night stand?
Even worse, even worse because like I had this crazy dynamic where I would become infatuated with a woman. And like I would just pour on the charm, like really get this woman to fall for me, and then like and then we would hook up, and
you're
then
a love bomber,
and then all of a sudden after I hook up with the girl, just something happens, and it's like a switch flips, and all of a sudden like I just totally am not into it anymore, and then I like ghost the person, and oof. And it's like I worked on this in recovery, you know? Like going through this thing, and we really like broke it down as just like sociopathic behavior, where it starts with it's a pattern of like misleading somebody, exploiting them, then neglecting them, and then abandoning them. You know, and then just rinse and repeat. And whenever I would do that, I would just feel like the worst person, you know, like because I was careless with somebody's feelings. You know, I did harm to them. Like, not only was I not treating those people the way that I want to be treated, I was specifically treating them the way I most fear being treated myself.
Really?
I mean, basically, you don't have to be Freud to understand that I've got like real like rejection, abandonment issues, you know? Like I'm like, look at me, love me, look at, you know? And then to be rejected and abandoned is the worst. So I think that subconsciously I somehow like did that to protect myself from being rejected, like make sure that I reject and abandon them. And that just is like the recipe for like the worst karma, the worst self-esteem, like the worst thing. And on top of that, like all this stress, the time spent,
yeah,
like the chasing chicks around and trying to hook up all the time is like a real drain on your time.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah. And like so you're just not being productive. You're not like, you know, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time doing that. And on top of that, like, you know, being careless with people's feelings, like doing harm. And on top of that, like all of the stress of like, oh my God, like, I, you know, I got to go get tested or like whatever, you know, like all of the terror of like health risks,
yeah.
You know, like, and so God damn, was that awful. And as I got older, I was doing stand up, you know, like for 13 years I did stand up. And in the beginning, I would do meet and greets after all my shows and be like looking for like someone to hook up with, you know?
Yeah.
I would want to send everybody home with the photo so they could post it and let people know, wow, Steve-O's show was actually really good. So, you know, it made sense to do that, but I was just acting out.
Yeah.
And as I got closer to, as I approached 40 years old, I was like, you know what? Like for me to be happy later in life, like, this isn't it.
You got to nix that.
This isn't it. Yeah, I really subscribe to the idea that I have to like learn how to be in a healthy relationship and find a life partner, because that's like the secret to happiness, you know, like a real relationship. And I was like, I'm not going to hook up with chicks anymore on the road. And I wasn't able to do that. And
well, so, I don't want to dive into your trauma, but where is the craziest place you've ever had sex?
Oh, I don't mind at all diving into trauma. Craziest place I had sex? I did the Mile High Club thing. That was pretty rad.
Okay. And a private plane, I'm assuming?
No, not even.
Shut up. It was commercial?
It was totally commercial.
What?
And like, if you have sex with somebody like who's like your girlfriend and you go on a plane, like that doesn't count. Like, you know?
How does that not count?
Well, because, like, you're all, you know, like...
It counts. If your penis goes in a vagina in an airplane, you're in the Mile High Club.
Okay. All right. All
right. You don't think so?
I mean, it's just kind of cheating.
So what did you do? You did it with a prostitute?
No, not a prostitute.
An unknown stranger?
I met the stranger at the gate.
Met the stranger at the gate.
Yeah.
Was she a fan?
I mean, she was aware of...
She knew who you were.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, shit.
She actually met Wee Man at the gate. And she met...
Was this a threesome?
No. But it was like... it was just a very, very sparsely populated flight from London, England to Kenya, Nairobi.
Okay.
And there's just like all kinds of empty rows. And so we just started talking at the gate. And then when we boarded the plane, it was like, oh, why don't we sit here, you know? Like, and we had the whole row to ourselves, and it was just like all the long flight. And we just like kind of hit
drinking,
it off.
I'm assuming?
At that time, yes, I was drinking a lot. And with respect to my woman, this was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, but or approaching 20 years ago.
So you just like lean in and start kissing this person?
Yeah, I mean, effectively. It started out with like just a blanket over us and you know, like a little bit of like, you know, kind of like movie theater behavior.
I was going to say, that's kind of yeah. what it sounds like. You're in yeah. a dark area, you've got a row.
And then we progressed far enough where I was just like, hey, why don't we just go to the bathroom?
Oh my goodness. So you had sex in the bathroom.
Yeah, we had sex in the bathroom.
Okay, because I was wondering, I'm like, was this in an aisle? Like, were you just like totally fuck it or you went?
No, but my, like, my co-producer, the guy who... Who orchestrates like whatever it is that I want to do, no matter like how illegal, no matter how, like I had an idea where I was like, okay, I'm gonna go skydiving, but I'm gonna be butt naked with another man strapped to my back, and I'm gonna jack off to completion, where simultaneously I'm gonna fall out of the airplane while I'm just blasting, and like it was not easy to set that up, but you know,
I can imagine yeah. that was.
But my
whirlwind.
My shady co-producer, Scott Randolph, if I want to get shot up with general anesthesia drugs while I'm riding a bicycle, he makes it happen. He makes everything happen. And he is the ultimate Mile High legend because he met a girl, like, on the plane, and they boned in the seat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's like more than the Mile High Club.
That's Mile High legend.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. It was on a British Airways flight where like in business class with like the lay down seats, and they've got like the privacy wall.
That's cheating. You can't close yourself off and have like your own little Easter egg, you know, I mean, where no one can see you.
I don't disagree, but it's better than the bathroom. And went like he met her on the plane, you know.
I give him that. That's like,
when I did it, I met the girl at the gate, and then we got on the plane, which is dope. But like, you meet a bona fide stranger on the plane, that's epic.
Wow, you know, that would be like a cool dating app if it was like the Mile High Wannabes, and it's all the people that would be down to meet, and then you just have to buy the ticket, and you meet on the plane, same row, yeah. and then that's where you have your first date.
Oh wow. That doesn't sound like a very successful business.
Well, welcome to my $10 ideas.
I first got in the Mile High Club when I was 17 years old.
Oh my God!
I went on an airplane with my girlfriend. It was like, all right, let's go get in the Mile High Club. You know, there's like not a lot to it.
Oh, well, after the extravagant story that you told me about meeting someone at the gate, that does sound boring.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I do want to just close the loop on the too much sex thing. I acknowledged that like I needed to figure out like my behavior. I ended up getting in therapy. I ended up really taking it seriously, like the way that I take sobriety with alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like I got into sobriety for sex, and my mantra was I'm going to do the work to become the man that the love of my life deserves. Fully acknowledging that I had not yet met that person. Because if I had met like the right person for me, I would have been useless to that person. It's not about finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person.
Yeah.
And I really, really took that seriously. And I'm very, very grateful for that, you know, like I really needed to put some distance between me and being a scumbag and do a lot of work, and And I couldn't be more grateful to have done that. And now that I'm in a committed relationship, you know, approaching 7 years, like I've not done a single fucking thing that I'm not supposed to, you know, like
that's great.
I respect.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I respect my lady. I love my lady so much. And there's just like no chinks in our armor. You know, like there's no, we've never been on or off. I've never doubted for a fucking second that I want to be with her. You know, like I'm all in with her. And as a result of 15 years, I haven't wasted time on drugs and alcohol. And like 6 years, I haven't wasted any time. Like I've been just in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And on top of not wasting my time, just being focused on what I want to accomplish, I've got this incredible partner who helps me.
Yeah.
So it's like a cheat code to life. And there's no, oh my God, what did I do? And there's no, like, I burned another person. I'm a piece of shit. You know, like, I feel good about, like, who I am, like, have integrity,
yeah,
like, do the right thing, and just focused on getting shit done.
Do you get jealous easily?
I'm not too much like that because I have no reason to be jealous when it comes to my relationship. Neither does my girl. Like we're pretty locked in.
Let's say that you are, well, since you're sober now, let's say that you were not in a relationship and you went on a date with someone and they drank alcohol.
It would depend on how they drank alcohol.
Let's say they got fucked up and they were a shit show.
That doesn't bode well. I mean, in the beginning of my sobriety, like I kind of wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit that, but it's true. You know, for the first few years of me being sober, I was like, hey, if I'm sober, like whatever, who cares?
Yeah. But now you kind of have like eyes that you're looking through really clearly, and you probably want someone that like vibes with you in that way.
Well, my girl's not an alcoholic or an addict. Like, she literally, like, has a glass of wine and doesn't finish it.
Yeah.
It's, like, the most confusing thing.
She likes
thing.
The taste.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all.
What is the longest you've ever gone without showering?
I can go for a good while.
Doesn't really bother you very much?
My girl and I, like, she'll say, like, ooh, you're spicy.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we call you stink, like, or I stink, like, I'm spicy. And, like, if there's, like, a real spice going on, then it will be addressed.
Yeah.
And sometimes there is.
Have you always sounded like that?
I wasn't sure. I went to, like, a voice guy, and I was like, dude, do I have my, like, fucked up vocal cords or something? And he was like, put the scope down. And he was like, no, you just, the way you use your voice, like, you're up here and, like, and I was like, really, doc? Like, after everything I've been through,
yeah,
you're telling me I just suck at talking?
That's just natural. All natural,
yeah,
baby.
And then I go back and forth between being, like, self-conscious about it and, like, ah, fuck it, man. Like, that's trademark. You know?
It is trademarked, for sure.
And my girl loves it.
You're going to be in a video game soon.
I've been in plenty.
Have you? Gosh, yeah. You need some more research. I didn't know that.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, not plenty, but I've been in a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a distinct voice. Voiceover work is right up your alley.
It's crazy where, like, I've ordered pizzas on the phone.
And
they're like,
up.
Is this fucking Steve-O? And I'm not, that's not even unusual. There's nothing unusual about that. Like, I get recognized on the phone. Like, when I'm in public, like, I'll be getting by fine. As soon as I open my mouth, like, I'm automatically recognized.
That's fun.
It can be.
What about with the mask situation when everyone
Same
was wearing
thing.
Masks? They would know automatically.
Dude,
too.
Can I say something about the mask? And I didn't come up with this, but it just changed the coronavirus mask situation forever for me. I saw a tweet and somebody was like, come on, like with the fucking masks.
Yeah.
Like farts go through boxer shorts and jeans. What the fuck is a mask going to do?
And with that, I will ask my dessert question.
All right.
So what is the best Valentine's Day that you've ever planned for a significant other?
I can't remember there being like a really dope Valentine's Day. I know that... one of my girls' birthdays, I filled our house, like properly filled our house with pink balloons.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
How did you move through it? Pop them?
Just move through and they move around. It was just hectic chaos. And she really loved that. I think there were like a fuck ton of flowers and pink balloons. Trying to remember a Valentine's Day that there's not one that was like overboard. And I'm ashamed to admit that. So we've got Valentine's Day coming up and let me
literally right around the corner.
Yeah.
What kind of flowers do you think say I love you the best?
I try to change it up, like and get like a new kind of flowers than I've gotten in the past.
Yeah. Roses. Like,
I've done the red roses thing. In the bucket list special opening sequence, it's red roses.
Okay.
So like because Lux like hangs them upside down and dries them and then saves them. Like, I want to add to her collection, like, a new look.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on my show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Congrats on your huge numbers and all the people watching. Like, if you want to see, like, the most fucked up shit I've ever done in my life, then go to stevo.com and get behind it, man. Like, it's the greatest thing I've ever made. It's literally like Jackass times 10, and it's the way that it's a love story, like everything, like all of these forbidden stunts that I would not be able to do for Jackass, like you see the footage and like the story is how these things affected my relationship. And so like it all makes sense and it's all fucking badass. So go to stevo.com and thank you so much.
Absolutely. I have to listen to your song, I Love You, But.
I'll show you the music video right now.
Yeah, that was the only red flag that I had for you currently. So we need to watch that. Guys, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
First date, baby. Are you really drinking a glass of milk with dinner? First date.